and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio, where we have appropriate financial experts in the studio today from Prout Financial Design, starting with certified financial planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is a pleasure to be in the house. Thank you, Ron. On the 17th, September 2020, indeed.
French.
Yeah, whatever. You know, they just come out of nowhere.
Do you have your Halloween decorations up? I've seen my mom does and other people do already. Yes.
And
it feels too soon.
We've got a neighbor that are really into it. That are really into that. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Well, I did notice on the announcement beforehand that whoever said your name, Heidi, they got it right. I was impressed. Oh, that was you. Amazing. Yes.
Heidi Thompson and Shay Pataja.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you both for joining us.
The trio.
We've got lots of great Shay stats, a lot of stats on retirement. We're going to be talking today about retirement. What about it? What should we be thinking about it, not as a way to shame anyone. Well, you haven't done this, you haven't done that. You know, what are you thinking? That sort of thing. It's what can you do with what there is? What possible adjustments could you make? As we know, usually a 2 to 3 degree change in how you view things and or how you approach certain things can make a huge difference. All we have to do is take a look at the political spectrum of today, Ron, right?
Yeah.
To see how much
Don't make me.
Truth goes there. Yeah, it does seem to be an ongoing conversation everyone is having these days. But it's interesting, nonetheless, to take a look at retirement because a lot of people have been forced into it, given this COVID thing. My gosh, I mean, I'm done or I'm early. I hadn't intended on this. So we're seeing a lot of folks who have been surprised, being forced into retirement, but possibly also saying, I can't do this anymore. The amount of stress, the changes that have gone on with COVID, all the rest, the new requirements, I just don't have the bandwidth, if you will. So we're seeing a lot of those, and we want to try to address some of those questions and issues that relate around that.
Dennis, we also see
some people. Hey, he's got to turn on your mic for it first.
Sorry about that.
That's quite all right.
We also see some people who thought they were ready, and the last year hasn't gone as they thought. And now they're like, well, you know, I'm going to have to change and maybe extend my working years 1 or 2 more years in the future to make up for not being able to contribute at the same pace or other issues.
It's amazing, the soup to nuts combo. Met with a gentleman engineer last week. Talking about this, he said, I just am not comfortable leaving the staff where they are right now, given the level of responsibility our team has. He said that's going to take them a while to become accustomed to it. Mm. So for whatever reason, if you have to make adjustments, today we're going to be talking about that and some of the things that you may want to think about related to retirement and how key those differences can be in terms of your own decision making. And Heidi's going to be talking about survivor benefits for Social Security, too. In fact, she was going through some of the details, and Shay and I were both going before the show. Wow. Oh, I didn't realize that. So there's some really good information that we've got here. In fact, we think that that'll be a great show in the future here. And speaking of future shows, next week, Doug Godby, you've already interviewed him, retired attorney, pretty much retired. Talking about his own retirement.
Yeah, so I had Doug Godby on last fall to talk about estate planning. He's from California. They live here half the year. And he has a really interesting show just because the experiences he gets out there are just different. You know, he says, I've seen people buy property for $1,000 way back in the day, and now it's valued at $1 million. And so he's going to talk about, in our interview, he talks about the failures that he's experiencing in retirement, the successes, and then the surprises. One of which is that he was advised not to let his license go in case opportunities came up that were interesting to him, and a couple have. And so we even talk about what he's working on now with a couple of estates out west. So it'll be a fun show. I thought it was really interesting, and he's just a nice guy, and he's incredibly articulate and easy to listen to. So tune in next week. That'll take up the hour. So
great. I'm away studying, as is Heidi. You got a test coming up as well?
I do, next week.
Yeah.
Tell them about your tests, what you're studying for.
Go first, Heidi.
I'm studying for my RICP, which is Retirement Income Certified Professional designation. And it is a series of three different tests. I have one already under my belt, the second one next week, and then hopefully I can finish this up by the end of the year or near to the end of the year. So, and then I'll have those letters.
When do you take the test? Like what day?
Tuesday.
When do you find out the results?
Tuesday.
Okay, there we go.
The worst 2 minutes of your life is sitting there while the clock goes around and they're like, calculating results.
Wow.
Do you know you didn't answer question 19? Did you want to go back? Wouldn't that be fun? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I thought I got it. Mine is the Certified Private Wealth Advisor, CPWA. it was last night or the night before, anyway. Night before, to be entirely accurate, going through the calculations on a program in terms of figuring out an internal rate of return, stuff that just really excites people, I know. I thought I thought I was pretty comfortable with working with my HP12C, given it's been more than 30 years, but I learned something I didn't know. So there you go.
Wow.
It's a part of the program whenever you're in these sorts of things, and I've been really impressed with the level and depth of information that they're moving towards us. So
investing in your ongoing edumacation.
Giving it a shot, anyway, you bet.
Yep.
So the average retirement age is about 62.
Really?
Yes, but 64% of Americans say goodbye to the workplace between the ages of 55 and 65. So they don't retire. About a third retire when they thought
Only
they would retire.
Third.
A third. Yep. 33% or so. Isn't that interesting? So when you're thinking about retirement, whether you're young or perhaps a bit older, usually you don't have as much control over that as you might think. It obviously, when we look at those who are older, like those running in the current election, we can just say, you know, they may not have quite the quick step they once had. Mm-hmm. We get that. And that may impact their ability to continue in their current position. They may have to make adjustments. Does your career allow that? So think about that in terms of prepping. How could I prepare for this? And what if I'm not there? You absolutely believe you're not there. You might be surprised that you could be, given some changes. Often we run into these types of situations where someone might say, well, you know, I don't even know. I don't want to come in and see Prout. We've heard people say that because they don't believe that they can do it. Well, okay, then when they take a look at their incomes, their expenses, know, the basic bottom line things, it's much more achievable than they may have thought. So many times, and once we go through these details, and then we have other folks came in yesterday, prospective clients, they don't want to do a financial plan. They have no interest. In fact, what did they say? Well, our accountant ran a financial plan for us about 15 years ago, and whatever, how many years ago it was, but we had no interest in it, and it didn't help us one bit. So there is a soup to nuts conglomeration, if you will, of folks out there. Some can benefit from these details. Some can benefit from parts of it where you can say, or we can say, yeah, we can help you address these issues related to your portfolio. Here's how we can do that. Could that possibly make sense, or does this make sense given your situation? That's a huge part of what we do on an ongoing basis, being able to review their situations with them. That's, I think, the fun part. So the average retirement age is not 65. Even though you may have set that, continue to prepare yourself. I consider it playing defense. What if, and at the same time play offense? What if you're wrong about the stock market? There's a great example. I love that rabbit trail. What if everybody is wrong right now about the stock market and about the election? What if everybody's wrong? What if it's going to be much more positive than you would imagine? Dennis, what are you saying? That's all I'm saying. It may wind up being much more positive than you had imagined. Given that's the case, are you preparado?
You know, Dennis, those are good points. And one thing that brought to mind was some of the study material that I'm going through right now. They talk about not basing your retirement on social norms, like everyone retires at 65, so I'm going to retire at 65, because every retirement decision is so unique to the individual because there's so many different parts. And they said there's so many things to consider. Retiring doesn't necessarily meaning applying for Social Security, and vice versa. Just because you're getting Social Security doesn't mean that you're retired. So the social norms are out there, and sometimes that sways people thinking, oh, this is when I do this, this is when I do that. But keep in mind that your own personal situation is much more relevant to making those decisions than the social norms. And you have to dig in, like Dennis said, you have to dig in and see where you are.
Exactly. It's a great point. What's your current health? What's your general longevity? Now, many are too conservative in that. They way underestimate their life expectancies. Given that's the case, how could you plan accordingly for that? You know, how could you plan for being married much longer than you previously may have thought, Ron?
Why me?
Why me?
Yeah. So it's not to denigrate the marriages out there. That's not the point. It's just saying, you know, you might be around a lot longer than what you had thought. Obviously, things get in the way of that. We understand life and death. At the same time, if you're going to live that much longer, how might you prepare for it? What possible things could you do and begin to prepare for now?
You're going to live longer and retire earlier than you thought.
Yes.
And be careful with Googling things. So, like, I Google a lot of topics every week because I'm trying to figure out how to piece this together. And I pulled up an article from a very well-known advisor in the nation, and the article wasn't totally correct. Mm-hmm. So I brought it to Heidi and Dennis, and they're like, that's not correct, that's not correct, that's not correct. So it just shows the value of going in and meeting with a professional in your area where you can see them face to face and talk about your situation instead of looking at what the averages are online.
Here's what the article said, and here's where it's wrong. While the average retirement age is 62, most people can't collect Social Security until 66. That's dead wrong.
That's not correct.
Thank you, Ron.
I know that.
See,
Ron knows that.
And if you were born after 1970, is there anybody in our audience born after 1970 except for maybe Colleen? You have to wait until you're 67. Wrong again.
Wrong.
So anyway, it's important to have those conversations and talk to a specialist in this piece. Those people who are willing to take tests for, you know, other designations.
you guys like the pain, I think.
Yeah,
another thing is that we see with clients or potential clients is because finances are done, you know, in this vacuum, everyone's very private about their money. So you create in your head this ideal situation that you are supposed to be in based on what you think your friends have accomplished or your peers at work. And we'll have people come in who think they can't retire because they didn't save $3 million. And so they're way off. Well, their $1 million is probably fine for what they want to do with their money in retirement. But they've put off meeting with an advisor year after year after year just because they think that they're failing. And we have the perspective of seeing, you know, 8 to 10 clients a day to help them navigate this. So that's the other part I find interesting. And Dennis, you say that's a really fun meeting when people come in and say they can't do it. And then you look at the numbers and you run it, you know, six ways to Sunday, as I like to say. And they can. And so that also helps with perspective.
I think that's one of the most fun things I get to do, and that's really honest, because showing somebody and changing possibly their view of what their retirement was predisposed in their mind versus what they can really do. Okay, you're going to have to make some adjustments. Here's what they are. Oh, my gosh. You know, I only have to do those things. It's amazing the difference it makes, and the numbers show it. So it's incredible. That's truly, that's why I'm still doing this. When I'm 61 almost, it's crazy how old some people get. So if it's going to be, it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to you. In terms of these kinds of things, if you can tackle it with that sort of attitude, I would encourage you, go for it. You know, you may have to make some adjustments, but doesn't anyone want to know that before they get on the trip? Okay, so 75 is blocked for 10 miles. I'll go around and also give it a little bit more time, perhaps. Doing those kinds of minor things or making those minor adjustments, that's where it really gets enjoyable. And when you're not thinking nearly as much about money, obviously then at retirement, you can tend to enjoy it a whole lot more. Are you ready to take those withdrawals if the market does go sideways as it did back in March? That's another key component. How do you continue to take the income that you want and need throughout retirement and still participate in the markets if they're going to tend to be positive? We have to play both sides of that one. It's a continuing job. So for pre-retirees and retirees, first from the part, what do you want out of retirement? Is it travel, time? Well, what expenses are you going to be having generally? Thinking through those things. What is it that you'd like to achieve? Have you been able to think about that? Have you taken the time? Frankly, sometimes going in to see a financial advisor like us may be one of the best places you can do that, because you can actually allow yourself in to have a conversation with your spouse if you haven't yet done that. What is it we'd like to do? How much travel is it? I've had many a spouse be surprised by another spouse's response. I don't know they want to travel, but I want to get that garage set up so they can do the woodworking I've already always wanted to do. And in this case, if it's a him, she may say, well, thank goodness. So he's not in the house all the time. So having some separate interests may be a very good thing to look at. Having those conversations tends to make move the success ratio significantly to your side. Next, retirement accounts. How can they help you fund your lifestyle? And at what rate? Generally, it's 3 to 5, 4 to 6. 6 is probably a bit high in terms of drawing money from those retirement accounts and helping fund expenses. Do I want to wait on Social Security? Should I take it earlier, given my current job? What are the differences going to be in the income? The financial plan that we run, it doesn't have to be a financial plan, but the numbers can help you see the actual difference. I've heard other financial advisors say, well, if you wait until you're 70, it's like 15 years to break even. That's wrong. It's not 15 years. It's more like 10 to 12. 10 to 12 years to break even. Well, I don't want to know that I want to wait until I'm 70. I get that. It's just the point of the numbers do tell perhaps a different story to allow you to make that switch from saying, I'm going to take it at 62 to, well, I'm going to take it at 65 when Medicare kicks in. That's what I want Social Security to start. And having waited just the 3 years makes a huge difference in success. We've seen it again and again and again in terms of the numbers and the ability to retire. So it donut discount.
That sounds good too.
That sort of thing.
Donut make my brown eyes blue being the favorite.
Sorry, say
I
that
said
again.
Donut make my brown eyes blue.
Yeah.
Donut.
Donut.
Mm-hmm. Donut.
So, and then are there surprises that you want to inventory? It's surprising how many clients forget about specific accounts. Oh, I forgot about that 401k at the previous work that's 20 years old. Those kinds of situations happen relatively on a continuing basis. Adding all of those sources together is where it really makes a difference. That pension that you discounted in your own mind, perhaps, $500 a month, it makes a big difference in retirement as well. part-time work, all those sorts of things can make a big difference for success when it comes to retirement. And that's just, we're just scratching the surface and what we talk about as it relates to retirement and our clients.
Was there a time where it was routine for people to just say, yep, I know exactly when I'm going to retire at 62. The company's going to give me the gold watch. And I go home and the pension checks and the Social Security checks show up. I don't have to think about this at all.
That's exactly right.
It was.
That's 15, 20 years ago was the norm. And now, given the responsibility shift that we've talked about, it's amazing. They didn't have near these sorts of options to think about. And drawing an income from a portfolio, the responsibility not only shifts, but it tends to increase when you're drawing income, I think. Because it's one thing accumulating funds in a 401k. It's an entirely different thing drawing income. That's why Heidi's taking that class.
That's right. Because it is a different story. When you're building up your assets or you're in what we call the accumulation phase, market volatility is not so much of an issue to you over the long run. But once you start drawing that income out of a portfolio, it can make a big difference from what asset do you pull it from, when do you pull it from, and what type of product you're using. So all these different pieces, and they're different from when you're just saving. And it gets a little bit more complex, and having somebody walk alongside you who has the knowledge, who's learned some of these ideas, can help you make better choices for yourself.
It's huge. It's huge in the long term and for your own retirement stability and in being able to make those decisions. So the next question, can you be flexible in terms of retiring early or if you need to retire later? Given that you can retire later, what kind of flexibility can you take advantage of that might possibly change that indicator significantly toward the positive for you? If you do need to make those adjustments, how can you do it? Does it make sense? Would your job allow it? All those sorts of things. And it's amazing if you've had some more time to accumulate, the difference in retirement can be significant as well, given compounding, which many people discount. The compounding effect it tends to improve your situation over time. And it's not as though retirement stops the compounding benefit. That's when it actually probably becomes even more important. And I'll say probably because I hadn't thought about that before to that extent. But I would say probably. It's even more important because the amount of years that you're most likely, either yourself or you and your spouse, are going to be retired is significant.
Is there a formula, like if you have X number of dollars in your 401k account that you're drawing from, you want to take 5% of that a year, but it's dwindling, so you're decreasing the amount in there, but it's still earning interest.
Yes.
How long that would last if you take some at 5% a year?
We run those figures in the financial plan, and they can help us significantly make that determination. And do we need to? And the interesting part of that is when you're initially retired, you may want to draw a higher percentage, especially if you're not going to take Social Security benefits initially. Well, we want to travel. You know, we don't want to stay home as though the whole rest of our lives is a pandemic. Guess what? Announcement here, surprise. This pandemic may not continue forever. Okay? Thanks. I know, Ron, you appreciate that. But I actually wrote that on my notes this morning. You know, the pandemic is not going to continue forever. Right now, the UP is going like going to the Bahamas. Oh, you're going to the UP?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's crazy.
I'm almost jealous of those people who are running up to the UP right now because that's kind of nice to think about. But eventually, all the travel, the world travel and all the rest is going to continue. What are you going to do about it, eh? Now, that's the fun stuff to think about. It's not, don't take today's situation, and I know I'm repeating myself and possibly, you know, you already get this. Don't take today's situation and continue that into the future. there may be so many more positive things that are around the road.
My 4-year-old niece is already planning a trip to Paris. She told her parents she wants to go to Paris.
I love that.
That she saved all of her money to go to the faraway place.
How much has she saved?
$3.74.
Okay. She's got a little ways to go, but
I love it. She's dreaming big already.
But if you put $3.74 away when you're 4 years old, mm-hmm. how much will it be worth when you're 24?
Thank you, Ron, because I started a 529 plan for my nieces, and I keep reminding the family, why are you buying them gifts now when they won't remember what you got them? Put the money in the 529. I'm like the Debbie Downer of the family.
Financial planning firm, huh?
Oh, it's almost like I've learned a few things.
Yes. So, Heidi, survivor benefits, Social Security. Let's hit that, shall we?
Sure. Everybody, we talk about Social Security a lot here on the show because it's a vital piece of planning when you're retiring. But Social Security pays benefits to people other than just retirement. Although retirement benefits are about 73% of the total benefits that Social Security pays out, but it also pays out to disabled workers and their dependents, and that's about 14.5% of the benefits paid. And then there's the survivor benefits for deceased workers that are about 12.3% of the benefits that Social Security pays out in a given year. So I thought it was a little interesting. I found this article, and one survivor benefit is a benefit that is for $255. And that goes to the spouse or the children of the deceased worker. And its origin was a burial expense. It was to cover the burial expense. And it's not something that changes a lot or goes up a lot over time, but it's still out there, and that benefit is still received. So who else other than this one lump sum benefit gets a survivor benefit? Well, a surviving spouse, as early as age 60, if you have been married at least 9 months, would be eligible for a survivor benefit.
That's if the spouse dies while on the job, or just if they're just dying and they happen to have a job?
Well, if they've been paying in to the Social Security system through their employment, so, or if they are a survivor after they have retired or they're already taking Social Security.
Okay.
So, could go both ways. A disabled surviving spouse would also be eligible as early as age 50 if they were disabled within 7 years of that worker's death. Okay.
So the worker who's paid into it, their spouse can collect benefits if they're disabled at age 50.
Right.
And we were talking about this, and this is a great reason. We want to see if we can have Bob Simpson in, who's the local representative here for Social Security. Just a dictionary, encyclopedia of knowledge. Go for it. Go for it, Heidi.
Okay. Also, a surviving spouse who cares for eligible dependents under the age of 16 or disabled and collecting benefits under the deceased record. So if it's a disabled child, if you're taking care of that child as a surviving spouse, you can receive, even if you're not yet 50 or 60, some of these other rules, you can receive benefits when the children are younger.
How does one know this?
Well, you listen to the new retirement radio, and we're going to tell you. Now, you can go out to the Social Security website, would be a good place. We get our information, a lot of our information, through the Ed Slott organization that puts out a Social Security newsletter every month.
SSA.gov is the website for Social Security, SSA.gov. Go for it, Heidi.
Okay. Another individual would be an unmarried dependent child or stepchild, including in some cases an adoptive child, a grandchild who is unmarried, under the age of 18 and 19 if they are enrolled in school. So if you are someone who's taking care of a grandchild because someone passed away, that child could be eligible.
Well, we see those situations every once in a while as well. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. interesting.
And here's another interesting one, a former spouse. So if you were divorced and your former spouse passed away, you had to been married at least 10 years, and you have to be unmarried, or your remarriage, if you had remarried since then, you have to be remarried after the age of 60. So if you're 59 and you're out there and you're thinking, I'm going to get remarried, you might want to say, hey, I might wait until I'm 60.
Depending on the benefit that you get from your spouse.
Romantic. I'm for Clint. Mm-hmm.
First comes love, then comes money, Ron.
and we laugh, but I was in a seminar this last week with Mary Beth Franklin, who works with Investment News, and she's a Social Security columnist. And she actually said that one of her friends called, and she was really upset because she had gotten remarried, but she was 59. And she was like, she didn't call me before she
said hey. See? And your friend is like the national expert on Social Security.
And she left me and checked it out.
Ask, you bet. Oh, well, not everybody knows that either, right?
Okay, and then here's a final category that I don't think everybody realizes. A dependent parent who relied on the deceased child for at least half of their support immediately preceding death. So say that your parent is living with you. If you pass away and you were providing half of their expenses or their care, then that parent may be able to get survivor benefits.
I did not know that.
No, that was a surprise to me. I've never heard that either. And I'm not sure what it would take to apply and or qualify for those benefits, but that's certainly something worth investigating.
I think that could be the next time we visit this, maybe we'll dive more in depth on each of these topics.
And don't forget the $253 for burial.
55, Ron. 255. Let's not discount it too much, shall we?
So I have kind of a related but a question for Heidi. Let's say a plane, jet aircraft, crashes right on the borderline of Canada and the United States. Mm-hmm. Question is, where do they bury the survivors? In what country?
They probably
it depends on whether or not they're collecting Social Security. Is that the right answer?
Yep.
I would think it would depend on their home country, but I'm missing something, I think.
They don't bury survivors.
Ah, exactly.
Yeah.
I knew it, Ron.
Okay.
Jeez.
That was a good one.
All right.
The better question is, did they die from COVID or not?
Well, that's the right.
See,
yeah, did
they?
Or was it the plane
crash? Oh, I'll keep my comments to myself.
Moving right along.
Moving right along.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA/SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City with Mr. Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, and Shay Pataja, live.
Thanks, Ron. Shay, announcement.
Yeah, hey, don't forget, we've got classes coming up this fall, so not that far away, October 6th and 13th, October 8th and 15th. The two classes are from 6 to 8 p.m. online, so you can pour yourself a glass of wine, turn on the class, look at your workbook, be in your cozy blanket with the fireplace on and learn all about retirement planning. It's just the ideal situation. So it costs $39 and you can register. You go to our website, proutfinancialdesign.com. under the seminars and classes. You can just go there and sign up. It directs you to where you sign up. You get the workbook emailed to you. And, yeah, it'll be great. We've done this class a long time. Actually, we started this class in 2000. You did, Dennis, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great class. It covers everything, and they're going to go through it as efficiently as they can in those 4 hours of class material. And it will help you really benchmark where you're at and get things right in your own head. And also, don't forget, we're offering the, for those of you who are find the financial plan appealing, we are offering that at our client discount. So that's 50% off the regular cost. So that's running through November. And if you feel motivated to do that and think that would help you and your partner get on the same page about where you're heading and what you've got right now, that's also an option. So we're trying to help you and give you as many resources as you can to go with that. So
appreciate it, Shay. Love teaching that class. I taught it at NMC for years and years and dropped it. And now they've updated it. And we can also offer it online, which we're doing. And excited about doing that again.
Doing it online, so people will get the web address, sign in and that. But can they at some point text or questions to you?
Yeah, there'll
be
an active question and answer.
It.
So Shay will actually be there helping out,
mm-hmm.
Both Heidi and I, as we're teaching it. So
cool.
We'll be
teaching
able to respond.
Live.
You bet. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So last point, in terms of retirement, let's hit this quickly. Lifestyle goals, before and after retirement, would it be travel, college for kids or grandkids, home improvement, new home, provide care, start business, major purchase, leave bequest, gifts or donations? Are these needs? Number one, wants, number two, or wishes, number three. So this is just one area we discuss in terms of the retirement plan. What is it that you'd like to do to help you begin to focus on that? And it's amazing, of course, as you begin to get these things set down, it's amazing how they have a much better chance of actually occurring. Because you know this, we can't do life more than once. Once is life. And vice versa. So given that's the case, we can help you possibly make that much more enjoyable travel, if you will,
mm-hmm.
an enjoyable venture between you, your loved ones, and all the rest for retirement.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.